It's a political fact that here in Ohio, the Republican Party holds most of the cards, dominating statewide elected offices, the General Assembly, the Ohio Supreme Court. Keeping the party ticking along is the job of Jane Timken, who took over as state party chair this past January. Today, she and Ohio Farm Bureau Executive Vice President Adam Sharp will chat about politics and policy and hopefully motivate us towards political participation. New state GOP chair Jane Timken, our guest on Town Hall Ohio.
This is Town Hall Ohio, home to interesting people, engaging issues, and enlightening stories. Town Hall Ohio is a production of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation, working to forge a partnership between farmers and consumers, and is supported by Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. Now, here's Town Hall Ohio host, Joe Corneli.
Jane Timken was elected chairman of the Ohio Republican Party on January the 6th. She is a longtime supporter of the GOP. She is a lawyer by trade. Ms. Timken has been active with a variety of charities, boards, and foundations, and was a trustee at Kent State University. She is a graduate of Harvard, is a native of Cincinnati, lives in Stark County, and is married with two children. Jane Timken, welcome to Town Hall, Ohio.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And Adam Sharp, welcome back.
Thank you. Glad to be here as well.
So, 4 or 5 months in, how's it going? Is it what you expected?
I think it's going very well. I have a great team of people around me. I'm spending a lot of time traveling around the state. I think it's important for the state party chairman to be out of Columbus and into the county party and visiting with people all over the state. Put lots of miles in my car, and I'm getting excited for our elections. You know, we had a primary election yesterday, and we're looking forward to elections in September. I mean, in 2017, in November, and then looking forward to 2018, where we're going to be successful again.
So with her running all over the state, are your paths crossing? Because you're doing exactly the same thing as our still relatively new CEO.
That's right, relatively new into the role and spending time visiting with every one of our county farm bureaus. So right up to 29 so far. We should talk. Maybe we will cross paths, I'm sure.
We should carpool.
Yeah, absolutely. Carpool around the state.
So take off your party hat for a moment.
I never do that.
Well, okay. we'll pretend. So you were invited into a middle school or high school civics class, and your topic of conversation that you've been assigned is how government works and how it should work. What's its role, its proper role in our lives?
Well, I think my fundamental premise is that government should work for the people, that we are a country made up of individuals, and our Constitution provides for individual freedom and individual rights. I would strongly encourage the young students to participate in their government process, even if on a smaller level, to be aware of what's going on. It's very important to elect people that they think are going to represent them in government and their wishes and their desires and their interests. It's sad to say that I think that we have less civic engagement than we did decades ago, much to the detriment of the country. My goal is to increase our voting turnout population, especially Republicans, but it's also to keep people engaged and make them aware of who their elected officials are.
For decades, Farm Bureau members have expected their organization to help build that informed, educated citizen that Ms. Timken just spoke of, Adam.
That's a very important part, and I appreciate your comments on it. We don't have enough civic engagement, it seems like, these days, thoughtful civic engagement on issues and people taking that broader look at what is good, what is best for the community, for the state, or nationally when we talk about policy issues.
Right. We've seen all too often government overreach, and as a Republican, we battle against that. I think that's one of the reasons why President Trump was elected, and some of the things that he's doing now is dismantling an over-regulated state from the past administration and getting government out of the way, out of farmers' way, out of businesses' ways, and out of individuals' way.
So Adam mentioned that term, individual freedom. It's prominent in the National Republican Party platform. Help us get our arms around what we should consider to be individual freedoms.
Well, I think it's founded in the Constitution and the founding fathers of our country. They held a strong, firm belief of individual rights, and those translate into First Amendment rights, the right to free speech, the right to freely express your religion. It was the understanding that the individual is the prime person and not the government that should control your life. We see some erosion of our First Amendment rights in this country as we look at some of the protests that were going on in Berkeley. When someone wants to give a speech and they don't agree with that person, they're going to try to shut them down. I have grave concerns about that.
So help me understand part of the current political dialogue. The values that you just described are often portrayed as us versus them, that only some people should be able, are able to succeed under personal responsibility and individual rights, and other people are going to be harmed by that. I don't think you see that as that's the way it is.
No, I don't. I think my view is that everyone has the capacity to, I think they should have the capacity to reach their fullest potential. And, that's where you talk about the intersection of government. Government should enable people to reach their full potential and not put barriers into their own individual success.
One of the things we hear quite regularly, Adam, from our farmers who certainly it's a family enterprise, but it's an enterprise, it's a business. And this idea of government getting in the way of the private sector, lots of times through the regulatory process. We hear a lot about that from farmers.
Yeah. The whole regulatory piece is, of course, right now with this new administration in Washington, a lot of interest, right, in what's going to happen in the regulatory reform area. And a lot of excitement and support, I think, from the farming community about what's going to be happening from this administration in that area. Because of that very fact, right? How much regulation is too much regulation? I think most farmers will tell you absolutely some regulation is a very good thing. With food safety, for example, certain things around environmental quality and the way we treat our animals. I think there are certain things that we absolutely accept and support as far as good regulation. But how far do you go before you start to restrict business, restrict growth, restrict the ability to operate a business that employs not just a family and generates an income and support mechanism for a family, but also a community or broader for even within a state if you tighten down those rules too much. And that's the challenge, right, that balance. And there's a lot of excitement about what can happen now with some regulatory reform where I think there's been a lot of opinion that there's been a fair amount of overreach in more recent years.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think when you look at the EPA, for example, and the Clean Water Rule that affected a lot of farmers, I don't know if you know this, I actually live on a farm.
I did not.
Yes, and so we produce corn and soybean and sheep. And when you talk about the Clean Water Rule, I you probably know, as most farmers know, there can be collections of water and you can have streams develop when there's a frost, when spring comes. And if the EPA has the right to come into my farm and start regulating the temporary streams and ditches on my property, I think that's an overreach. That rule had the potential to inflict and intrude on a lot of personal property, individual rights of farmers. And I think that they should be heartened by the fact that, Secretary Pruitt's looking at that rule and they're dismantling that. And as we go forward, they're going to be looking at some of the other regulations that put unnecessary burdens on farmers. But I agree with you. There is a need for some good regulations, especially when in food safety and environmental issues.
So Jane Timken is the still relatively new chairman of the Ohio GOP. Adam Sharp, our executive vice president for Farm Bureau, is in the studio. I've used your title about a half a dozen times in the first 10 minutes. What's that mean? What's your job? What do you do as state GOP chair?
My job is to provide the resources and infrastructure to elect Republican candidates. I look at the Ohio Republican Party as a service bureau to our elected officials and to our candidates. We raise the funds to provide them those resources, whether it's communication, data information, grassroots support. We go around the state and we will have individuals in different corners of the state that will be able to gather volunteers and get them engaged and have them go out and knock doors and make phone calls on behalf of our candidates. We'll provide communication on behalf of our candidates and send out a message, whether it's a message in favor of our candidates or, you know, quite frankly, going after our opponents. I'm excited about what I do. I love my job. I'm really proud of all of our Republican candidates and our leaders. I think they do an excellent job for the state of Ohio, and they make it easier for me.
So we probably won't get to all of this before the break, but I want to start a little bit. Look at the GOP that was our dad's Republican Party and the GOP that's the party of my children. And I don't know how old your kids are, if they're voting age or not, but mine are. How has the National Republican Party evolved?
It's gone through some evolutions. I look at, you know, there was a time period. I grew up in the Reagan era, and he's sort of my guide star in terms of the Republican Party. But we had some, you know, some issues where the Republicans were not always as united as they should be. We've had some evolutions. I think Republicans have recognized that they need to broaden their base and do a better job at outreach. That's one of my goals, is to have that open door policy become more part of our dialogue as Republicans and our Republican Party, to bring more people into the party, to make them feel more welcome.
So not to put too of a fine point on it, but old white rich guys were the old Republican Party. Who's the broader base? Who are these? Are there some groups that you think naturally are going to be attracted to the new GOP?
Well, I mean, I look at my leadership. I'm the first Republican female chairman. And I think that's an exciting message to send to other women in Ohio and across the country, that the Republican Party is a party where women should feel welcome, and that the Democratic Party does not have a monopoly on the female vote. When you look at what happened in 2016, we had 1 million new voters come into the Republican Party in the 2016 primary. And it was a diverse group of people from all different socioeconomic backgrounds. I think they were clamoring to have the Republican Party be their voice and their message for jobs and national security and economic prosperity. And if we can keep that message and we can stay unified as Republicans, we'll be successful.
And that's kind of one thing we know, not just in politics, but in the way we do things within Ohio Farm Bureau. We're a general organization, so we welcome all kinds of different farmers from different backgrounds, geographies, commodities, et cetera.
That's right. We have a very diverse membership, and that includes political party. You know, we have members of the Farm Bureau who are Republican, Democrat, Independent, Green, and we know there are, you know, various parties and representations out there. And we've seen an evolution of that, too, as you mentioned, you know, with the Republican Party. We've seen an evolution of our membership and the way they look at politics. And we look at one of our biggest goals of making sure that we are both educating our members on issues that the parties are working through, but also making sure that policymakers are educated on what rural Ohio has an interest in.
We will be back to talk more with Jane Timken of the Ohio GOP, Adam Sharp of Ohio Farm Bureau, right after this.
Go, 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 Republican. Put your trust in what free men can do. Go, 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 Republican. For the future belongs to you.
Jane Timken is the chairperson of the Ohio GOP. She's in the studio with Farm Bureau's exec Adam Sharp, and we're talking policy and politics. Jane, again, thank you for coming on to the show. We've talked a little bit about Republican philosophy, your personal philosophy. Let's talk about the state of Ohio as you look at where we are today. What are some of the things that Ohio's got going for it, things that are doing well, maybe some things we could be doing better at?
Well, I mean, I think I'm a proud Ohioan. Ohio, I think, is one of the best states in the country. We have great natural resources. We have great manufacturing base and obviously great farmers in Ohio, which makes us a great combination for our economy. Obviously, I'm biased. We have the majorities in the Ohio House and Senate and all executive positions, so I think under Republican leadership, Ohio has done very well. I think we all share, both Republicans and Democrats share the concern of the opiate addiction in Ohio. I know our leaders in the State House and our governor are working hard to combat that issue, along with Attorney General Mike DeWine. We've got to get our hands on that because I think it's a devastating issue for the state of Ohio.
So set aside commodity prices and how farmers feel about those, and set aside the fact that some aren't going to get back in the field for at least a week due to the rain. What's the general pulse in farm country?
Well, I think what you saw here in this last election really tells the story, and that is that rural Ohio, I think, has felt like, at least at the federal level for a while, is somewhat neglected, right? That there wasn't a lot of attention being paid to farmers and rural communities, and their voice was not being heard. And I think that was the strong message that was delivered this past fall from not only rural Ohio, which was very strong, but across the country, that rural America also has very strong interests that need to be heard and worked on. And, you know, those do include, you mentioned opiates and drug issues, but a strong business climate, helping with communities, rural communities. Rural community strength is a big deal. But reg reform and business climate is critical out there, especially right now, as Joe mentioned a little bit. We have had the second largest farm income decline in history, only behind the Great Depression in the last 3 years. Most folks aren't talking about this. They don't realize that. I think that was part of this voice you saw raising up, was that there is a lot of concern out there about business climate and the future of communities in rural America because of the significant economic hit that's been taken in the last couple of years.
So, Jayden, you mentioned natural resources as one of our great assets here in Ohio. Let's go back and apply some of the principles of good government that you mentioned to our natural resources. Where's the balance, for example, in the shale play in eastern Ohio and the whole oil and gas and energy space? How do we take advantage of that without doing harm to, well, the environment and to families?
Obviously, my position is that, the oil and gas industry is a boon for the Ohio economy. We should be taking advantage of those resources in a responsible way, and I think that we are proving that's quite possible. I know that each and every corporation that's doing some fracking in some of the parts of Ohio and southeast Ohio and other areas and where the shale production is, I know that they want to do it in a responsible way. And the landowners want them to do it in a responsible way. I mean, a lot of these areas where they're doing some of this fracking is in rural areas. You look down in southeast Ohio, it's down in Monroe County last 2 weeks ago, and you can see the pipeline being built and all over. That has an impact on those areas, a significant economic impact, but I think there is a recognition of an environmental impact, but I believe that under good government and good leadership with a good corporate citizenship, that it will be done responsibly. But when you look at how much of a benefit that is to the state of Ohio and how we, that means lower cost energy, that means our manufacturers can produce at a lower cost and grow jobs. It's a win-win in my book.
Jayden Temkin is chairperson of the Ohio GOP, Adam Sharp, executive vice president of Ohio Farm Bureau. Ms. Temkin mentioned one of the big challenges that, I don't want to say it crept up on us, but I tell you, it's punched a lot of us right between the eyes, Adam, is this whole opiate addiction. And Farm Bureau, I understand why, but for the listener who might not, why has our grassroots organization said, we need to get involved in fixing this drug abuse issue?
Yeah, but we've not, probably really right up until here these last year or so, we've really not been engaged in the issue. And until now it's what comes up at every single Farm Bureau meeting. When we ask our county Farm Bureaus every year, we go through a very dynamic grassroots process. We ask every county Farm Bureau, give us your ideas for what our policies and what our priority issues should be in a given year. In the last several years, almost every county in their top 10 list of policy pieces we should be working on is rural drug epidemic. So we've seen that increase. We see, of course, that's equivalent to, you know, equivalent out to the problem that, we're seeing across Ohio. And now good outreach from folks here in the state wanting to work with us. And we're looking for ways that we can engage to help in that area.
We are chatting today with the new chairman of the Ohio GOP, Jane Timken. Adam Sharp, whom you just heard from, executive vice president of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation. I found out just by doing a little research that the Ohio GOP has had the first female in a number of relatively important positions in state government. We're going to chat with Ohio's first female GOP chair about the gender and politics issue a little bit deeper. Jane Timken will be back, as will Adam Sharp. I'm Joe Cornelia. We're glad to have you with us. More on Town Hall Ohio right after this.
Left wing, right wing, takes two wings to fly. Left wing, right wing, like an eagle in the sky. Your thing, my thing, nobody knows why. But I know one thing, it takes two wings to fly.
Welcome back to Town Hall, Ohio. We are talking with, well, I was going to say the right wing, but I guess that would be oversimplifying. Jane Timken is chairperson of the Ohio GOP, Adam Sharp, executive vice president of the Ohio Farm Bureau, and we're talking about policy and politics here in the Buckeye State. I learned something every day, but I want to run down a list here, Jane, that probably makes you quite proud. As I was on the GOP website, the GOP list of first females: Joanne Davidson, the first female speaker; Nancy Hollister, Ohio's first female governor; Betty Montgomery, first AG and auditor female; Jeanette Bradley, the first female African-American statewide office holder; Maureen O'Connor, the first chief justice; and now Jane Timken, the first female GOP head. That's an impressive list.
It is impressive. I think it tells you that Republicans walk the walk, and we actually are that open door party. Democrats, as I said earlier, think they have a monopoly on female candidates and the female voter. But I would argue that there are significant females who are attracted to the Republican Party, and we as a party have encouraged female engagement, and obviously we've been able to bring them along into some prominent leadership positions.
Is it happening at the grassroots level too? Are you seeing growth in female leadership at the county party level and such too?
To a certain extent, but I will tell you, I find in politics that women are actually more of the doers. When I know that we need to get something done in a county party level, or we need to get something for a candidate done for a candidate, I always think that you should ask the women to do it. I always like to quote Margaret Thatcher: "If you want something said, ask a man. If you want something done, ask a woman."
Adam, you must subscribe to that.
We finally, we see the same thing in the Farm Bureau.
Yeah, well, I look around here at all the corner offices in your cabinet. Most of them are filled by females too.
That's
one of the things that Farm Bureau has done for many, many years is try. Well, actually, we used to have positions that it was mandated that females be involved in our upper decision making process.
We probably had more women serve on our state board here in Ohio than many other state farm bureaus combined, many other agricultural organizations combined. We're very proud of that. We're very proud of the leadership work we do to develop leaders, but across all genders. But helping women develop leadership skills and be involved in our organization, starting at the grassroots level. And advance up through leadership roles, careers, develop businesses. We have more women operating farms now in this country and in Ohio than we've ever had, which is terrific. There's that stereotypical, it's a farm wife. No. It's a farm owner. She is often the farm owner and the farm operator. And that's absolutely critical to how we as an organization also have been evolving. And we're proud to see that.
That's great.
So we are at the time of recording earlier this week. It's 100-day-ish for President Trump. How's he doing?
I think he's doing great. He's accomplished more than many presidents have in the last 50 years. You look at the amount of legislation they've been able to pass, the regulations that they've overturned and dismantled from the prior administration. Consumer confidence is up. The stock market's up. I think once some of the things that he's put in place will start to grow our economy more. I look at one of the biggest accomplishments was the confirmation of Neil Gorsuch to the Supreme Court. That time period of getting that nomination in the first 100 days hasn't happened since 1881. He's going to be an excellent justice for the U.S. Supreme Court. I couldn't think of anybody more qualified. And I know that we are going to have tax reform and Obamacare will be fixed.
So if I ask farmers the same question I just asked the state GOP chair,
right,
there might be a little bit of concern in a couple of areas. I mean, they voted for the man. I think the sense I get, they still support him, but they're still watching a couple of things, trade, immigration in particular.
Sure, but I would lift up first that, American Farm Bureau and Farm Bureau's number one priority for this new administration coming in was the WOTUS rule that you mentioned earlier, Jane, about the waters of the U.S. And this was a vast overreach of regulatory authority that was going to yield no environmental protection and instead just create a lot more cost out there in red tape. And the striking down and the movement now for the new EPA director to dismantle that rule was huge. And our people are so supportive of that action. So very excited about that. Very excited about the broader reg reform piece. And Mr. Pruitt so far received a standing ovation when he came before a group of our Farm Bureau members twice just a week or two ago, which might be one of the first times we've had an EPA administrator receive a standing ovation.
When you were at US EPA, you got a
few. Oh, yeah. I got a few when I was there. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Right. I'll take credit for maybe one or two. But I think he got a much better one. And, so reg reform, tax policy reform, a lot of excitement. But, yeah, there are certainly some concerns that we can talk more about.
Well, and I think what I've heard is the Trump administration, whether we necessarily agree 100%, they're very willing to listen. And so that's a very positive point from Farm Bureau's perspective. We'll be back to talk more with Ohio's GOP chair, Jane Timken, when we continue. Welcome back to Town Hall Ohio. Jane Timken, chairman of the Ohio GOP, is in chatting with Adam Sharp, executive vice president of Ohio Farm Bureau. Jane, a little earlier you mentioned the nomination and relatively quick confirmation of Neil Gorsuch to fill a long open seat on the U.S. Supreme Court. You said it was a good choice. Why? What does Justice Gorsuch bring to the bench?
Well, first of all, he's highly qualified. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And I'm quite frankly surprised that the Democrats in the Senate opposed him because of his high qualifications. When I look at his nomination, and I know that one of the reasons why President Trump nominated him is because he wants someone who's going to actually read the law, apply the law to the facts, and make a decision. All too often in our federal judicial bench, we have activist jurists, and I think that they are legislating from the bench, which in my mind is unconstitutional. The role of the judiciary is to interpret the law and make a decision and not to make new laws. And quite clearly, Neil Gorsuch comes from that cloth of a textualist. He's a constitutionalist, and he will apply the text of the Constitution as appropriate.
So, Adam, as we've worked with our members over the years, everybody pays attention to who's at the top of the ticket, and they pay attention to who's going to be their state lawmaker and their U.S. senator. But we've always said, pay attention to these judicial races. It's crucial to the future for your family and your farm.
They are, and I'm glad so many people were paying attention to the Supreme Court nomination, but we still don't pay nearly enough attention to the courts in our own backyards. And that's something that we've often worked hard at, right, is to try to make sure that the citizens of Ohio understand when they go into the ballot booth, and today's you know, this week here with an election was another good reason for you to always keep that in mind. Educate yourself as a voter before you go into the booth, and especially on judiciary, because oftentimes folks come in, they don't know who those people are. And they're so critical to the operation of government, you know, third major branch of government that we sometimes forget about that you also elect, and making sure that you're informed when you vote for those people. And we do spend a lot of time making sure we lift up the people that we believe share our values in Farm Bureau as judges, and we often publish those Friends of Farm Bureau, even in the judicial area.
So as we are not even halfway into 2017, you mentioned at the top you're already looking ahead to the races of 2018. So you are in the head of a party that has Mike DeWine, our current AG, Mary Taylor, our current Lieutenant Governor, John Houston, our current Secretary of State, and Jim Renacci, a current member of the United States Congress, all saying they want to be governor. Is that a blessing or a curse?
It's a blessing. They're great people. They're highly qualified, and they're proven leaders. They've all held great positions in the state of Ohio and been able to accomplish a great deal for the state of Ohio. I feel like we're blessed with great candidates. And quite frankly, the primary voters in Ohio in the Republican Party can't make a wrong choice. Any one of those candidates is going to do a great job for the state of Ohio. And I know that we'll be successful and we'll retain the governor's office.
So I happened to get your chairman's e-letter. And full disclosure, I get David Pepper's too. But I looked down through there, and it looks to me like the state party right now, and tell me if it's going to continue this way, you're not getting too involved in the mix. If I see something about Mr. Houston, I see something about every one of those potential candidates. What's the role in the party as these four, as you said, very qualified candidates are sorting things out?
Sure. I've made it very clear publicly that the party will not be tilting the scales or anointing a candidate. Number one, I think that the primary voters should be the ones who make the choice. And number two, I think that there could be a backlash against the party if we, rigged our primary elections. The Democrats certainly did it in the presidential election when they got behind Hillary Clinton instead of Bernie Sanders, and you're seeing some of that hangover today. There's a lot of infighting. My job is to unite the party, but it's also to let the voices of the Republican voters be heard.
Adam, we have had working relationships with DeWine, Taylor, Houston, Renacci. None of them will be foreign to farm.
Yeah, that's
members.
The great thing is you got a group of people here who know rural Ohio. We have great relationships with all of these folks, and really we'll look forward to doing everything we can to expose these four folks out to our members, out to rural Ohio, give them the opportunity to have a platform and explain the policy issues that they're going to be bringing to the forefront, their ideas, their look to the future. So we look forward to being part of that.
That's great. Well, I also think that, you know, the Democrats they're going to have a primary too, but our candidates are way better.
Well, from a old media guy's perspective, I'm just seeing all kinds of Town Hall Ohio content coming my way. Jane Timken, Chairman of the Ohio GOP, Adam Sharp, Executive Vice President of Ohio Farm Bureau. We'll be back to wrap up our visit right after this. Them political blues. We are back with Jane Timken, Chairman of the Ohio GOP, and Adam Sharp, Executive Vice President of the Ohio Farm Bureau. We mentioned the statewide races that will be coming up for governor, and of course we're going to have other statewide offices that will need to be filled, but we'll also in a little over a year, year and a half, be going to the ballot casting our vote for U.S. Senate. So as you look ahead to that, how do you see that race shaping up? Mandel's declared, Josh Mandel.
Josh Mandel's declared. I'm excited to defeat Sherrod Brown. I think if there's any time to do it, this 2018 is the year to do it. Sherrod Brown's proven to be further and further left of what I think Ohioans want. He's come out with some recent plans, 70-page jobs plan for this, you know, for the American worker. 70 pages of a jobs plan doesn't produce a job. It's just all talking points. I don't think he's been on the side of those who want to grow their businesses. And quite frankly, I think he's out of touch with Ohioans. So I'm looking forward to defeating Sherrod.
You talked a little bit earlier in the show, and Adam brought this up too, about kind of a real or perceived resurgence of the rural voice in politics. Your assessment of I guess it was manifested in the recent presidential election, but what's going on out there?
Well, I think that there were for a time period, and this is just my assessment, and you can tell me otherwise, that rural America was part of that forgotten man and woman that the president talked about, people who had no voice and that their interests were not being heard either in government or otherwise, and especially in the White House. And now I believe we have a president who's going to be listening to them. And I think that's why they came out so strongly for President Trump. And I hope to, my job as chairman is to keep them engaged and keep them voting Republican and make sure that they know that they have a place in the Republican Party and that we will make sure their voices are heard.
So that wave of forgotten voices that Jane just mentioned, Adam, we saw it and it put Donald Trump in office. 8 years ago, it was the other side of the political spectrum. It put Barack Obama in office. Our message is you should be enthused about politics and potential for good leadership all of the time.
Well, absolutely. Need to be engaged and need to educate lawmakers and policymakers of all levels on what's important to you, to the individual, to those in particular, those men and women who really do feel like they were forgotten for quite a while out there. And I never saw a more shared piece of social media than I saw the tractor parade part of the inaugural parade on the presidential on the day that, President Trump was inaugurated. That thing was shared and shared and shared. And, of course, our own American Farm Bureau president, Zippy Duvall, was in one of those tractors. And just seeing that, brought a lot of attention to that voice that they thought was had been left behind. So there's excitement there. But you're right. We always have to need, we should always have that excitement to try to express our views into the political system and make sure it's heard. We do a good job here in Ohio, but sometimes that's right. At the federal level, it gets very difficult, and we should not be curtailed by that or dissuaded by that. We should always make sure we're engaging.
So to me, the minimum level of political engagement is to cast an informed ballot, but we got about a minute here. How else can people who previously haven't gotten engaged, what's the path to getting started to, regardless of what party you support, getting in the game?
Well, I think all issues are local. I look, and I think that people should look at who's on their city council, who's their township trustee, and if they don't like what they're doing, I think they could either think about running for office themselves. But we have a lot of freedom in this country, and it's because we have the capacity to vote for who our leadership should be. And people should show up at the voting polls. We have, in the state of Ohio, it's easy to vote. And you should never miss that opportunity, because I've seen it where we've actually, there have been people who've lost races by one vote. Your vote does count. So don't believe that, you have to show up at those polls. Civic engagement is key to our future and to your children's future. So make sure you vote.
So you seem to be enjoying the job so far. I hope next time we have you back on 6 months or a year from now, you still feel the same way.
I will.
Jane Timken is the chairman of the Ohio GOP. She's been in the studio with Adam Sharp, executive vice president of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation. Jane, thank you for being here. Boss, thanks for being here. And to
thank
all
you.
Of you listening, glad to have you along today for Town Hall Ohio.
Town Hall Ohio is a project of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation and is brought to you with the support of Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. Join us again next week for Town Hall Ohio.